Please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22, I'd like to read for you this evening verses 34 through 40. I think an event that we're all fairly familiar with. Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. Matthew writes, "But when the Pharisees heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they gathered themselves together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, 'Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?' And he said to him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets.'" So ends the reading of God's Word. May He bless this part of His Word to our hearing this evening. Now, our shorter catechism asks the question, what is the duty which God requires of man? And we saw last week what the answer to that question was. It's really obedience to His revealed will. That is what He desires of us. Now, we also saw that that will, that law of God, those commandments, are really quite broad. In summary, they're called the moral law, and there's a lot of them. But thankfully, the Lord has summarized them for us in the Ten Commandments. And we need to realize that the Ten Commandments did not start on Mount Sinai. That's not when they were first given. They're actually in force even in the garden. As we saw, Adam needed to obey those laws. And really, to break any of the moral commandments, in essence, is breaking all of the Ten Commandments, because they all hang together, or they all fall together, or are broken together, I should say. This was something that Adam was to keep, something he was to do, something as a part of his test, the test God placed him under, part of his probation, in order to bring life to us. But of course, he failed. But this was also something that Christ was to do. Unlike Adam, though, he did it. It was his delight to do it. And in doing this, of course, he brought salvation to us. But the one thing we need to understand, as our catechism teaches us, is that these commandments, they're still God's will for us today. God wants us to obey them. But now, why does God want us to obey them? Why did He want Christ to obey them? Well, we could simply say it's because that's what God wants, that's what He commands, and just simply leave it at that. But it would still leave us with the question as to why He wants us to do these things. Well, the answer is really very simple. First of all, God wants us to do these things because they're the right thing to do. We know that God loves righteousness. We know there is a right and there is a wrong. And to do these things is right, and to not do them is wrong. But we really could make it even simpler than that. When God says that He wants us to do the things that are right, what He's actually telling us is He wants us to do the things that are loving. God wants us to love Him, and God wants us to love our neighbor. The whole moral law, everything that God requires of us, can be summarized by this one word: love. Love toward God and love toward man. And that's really what I want us to look at this evening from this passage. How the Lord summarizes everything in these two commandments, both of which are commandments to love. Now, in our passage, we see a lawyer coming to Jesus in order to test Him, asking Him which is the greatest commandment out of all the commandments. Now, remember that a lawyer is somebody who spends his whole life studying the law of God. You might say that he is an expert in the law. He is a professional. This is his full-time occupation. So this isn't just somebody off the street, as it were, who just had a question. He was wondering what Jesus thought about. This is somebody who had made the law of God his whole life's work, his whole life's study. And he wanted to know what this rabbi, this teacher, this great teacher of Israel, thought about it. Although we see that perhaps there was an ulterior motive. It seems that this same event in Mark's Gospel tells us that the man actually was quite sincere in his question. He wanted to know what Jesus thought. And of course, I think we're interested in the answers to that question as well, aren't we? We don't have to be a lawyer to be interested in this. We don't have to be a minister to be interested in this. But as God's people, we want to know what it is that's on the heart of God. What's most important to Him? Now, the Pharisees were really divided on this question. There were several schools of thought among them as to what the greatest commandment might be. And perhaps you could guess some of the answers they would come up with. Some thought it was circumcision, that covenant sign that God had given to Abraham that set them apart from all the people of earth or on the earth, without which a person would be cut off from God's people. Circumcision was important. Others thought it was the Sabbath. You know how when Christ, in their estimation, broke the Sabbath, how angry they got. At one point, they wanted to take him and throw him off a cliff. The Old Testament law said if a person breaks the Sabbath, he ought to be killed. And so many Jews thought the Sabbath was that most important commandment. Still others thought it was the sacrificial law, the ceremonial law, the priesthood, all the sacrifices. After all, how was one forgiven of their sins? How was one reconciled to God? It was through the sacrificial system, in their estimation. The priesthood, it was their approach to God. But interestingly enough, there were still others who believed that it was the law of love. Jesus, on one occasion, asked one of the lawyers what he thought the greatest commandment in the law was, and he answered in exactly the way that Jesus answers now. He says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these depend the whole law and the prophets." Now, in essence, that lawyer was right. Jesus says this is the greatest commandment. And thankfully, when we have God's word on the matter, when Christ speaks on the matter, that settles the question. There's no more argument. Well, let's consider now the answer that Christ gives for a moment. First of all, he says the greatest commandment is that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind. Now again, in a parallel passage in Mark, Jesus actually begins his answer by quoting the Shema, which is, of course, the great foundational confession of Israel. The Lord is our God. The Lord is one. Now, he does this to point them, first of all, to the God that they are to love, their covenant God, the same God who is in covenant, really, with us, who is Yahweh. Remember, their God is our God. The Old Testament God is not a different God. And this is why Jesus says in our passage, "You shall love the Lord your God," not just the God of Israel, but the God who is in covenant with you. Okay, He is our God. He is our Lord. Now, knowing who He is also, of course, explains to us why we should love God. Because this God, Yahweh, is the one who made us and the one who owns us. He is the one who had mercy on us when we fell into sin. He's the one who called a people out of the world to be His people, the one who made covenant with Abraham, a covenant of redemption. The one who gave the law to point His people to Christ. The one who gave us His Son in order to pay for our sins, in order to obey for us so that we might have life. The one who rules over us in love. The one who is in charge of all things and who is working all things for good in our lives. And most importantly, the one who is that, well, I guess you'd say the essence of perfect love. The one who is morally upright. The one who is absolutely holy. The one who has no hatred within himself. At least no hatred of what is good and what is right. Only hatred of what is wrong. But one who is pure love. Remember, God is love. love is what we owe to God, you see, for all these things, for who He is and what He has done for us. It is not only the only right and proper response to this one who is love and who has done all these things for us, but it is also what He requires of us. Jesus says the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God. Okay, but notice how we are to love Him. More than just in word only, more than just in thoughts only, more than just in feelings or emotions only. Our Lord tells us that the kind of love that we're supposed to have for God is that which should come from the very depths of our being as an expression of our whole being. Jesus says we must love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, which means that we are to love Him with everything that is within us to love, with all of our affections, with our whole mind and will, with all of our understanding and our intellect. We are to be, as it were, a holy flame of fire and devotion to God. Now, you know that as the Pharisees tried to keep the law of God, and they tried to do it out of a covenant of works, Jesus reproved them again and again, saying, "You're blind Pharisees, leaders of the blind." He says, "You're just following your traditions, and you've even set aside the law of God so that you could follow these traditions. You're not really doing it from the heart. You're not doing it because you love me, but you're doing it because you're trying to make yourselves right with me. But you can't do it that way. You need to love me," Jesus says, "with everything that you have to love, with your whole heart and your whole will, because of who you are, because of who He is, and because of what He tells us to do, or what He's done for us, because that is what we want to do." God doesn't like forced obedience. God wants a willing heart, a heart of love. Now, in Mark's Gospel, and in the book of Deuteronomy, the word strength is also added, because this is how our love and devotion is to show itself in our lives, through the things that we do, serving God with all the strength that He gives us. Remember, we saw in the shorter catechism this morning that God made us to glorify Him. God made us to enjoy Him. And we are to give Him glory in absolutely everything that we do, even to the very things that we eat. The choices we make with regard to food and clothing, the small things in life as well as the great things in life, our whole life is to be one of devotion toward God. Now, that's simple to say, maybe not so simple to say, much more difficult to do. But the question, first of all, we should ask is, how can we know whether or not we are loving God the way we're supposed to be loving Him? Okay, what is the standard that He has set for us? What is the rule by which we can judge whether or not we're doing this? Now, again, as I've said, it's not by what we think alone whether our thoughts are full of God, and they ought to be. It's not by just what we feel, not by emotions. You know, sometimes we can confuse emotions with affections. Emotions are how we feel, and we can't always trust our emotions. Sometimes they'll lead us astray. Our affections, yes, those are very important. Are our affections directed toward God? Do we love Him? But really, how do we know whether or not we really love Him? Well, there's one sure way that we can tell, and that is by what we do, at least when our affections are coupled with actions. We know that we can obey God's law just out of a sense of duty without any love to God. We can do the outward things that God calls us to do, but that's not enough. God wants more than that. He wants the heart, but yet what good are affections if they never really express themselves in any actions toward God? Any praise, any worship, any obedience? The two have to be coupled together, and of course, if we have true affection for God, it will work itself out in the things that we do. And so Jesus gives us laws, or points us to the law, to show us whether or not we love Him. Remember, Jesus says in John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. What is the measuring standard or the rule by which you can know that you love Jesus? It's whether or not you're willing to obey him. Well, how can you know whether or not you love God? Well, the same way. Are you keeping his commandments? Which commandments? Well, in this case, specifically, the first four commandments that tell us how we are to love God. The way that we love him is by having him as our God and the only God. By worshiping him in the way he wants us to worship him, listening to his word, treating his name with the utmost respect and reverence, and of course, honoring him on his holy day, his day of rest, the Sabbath day. Now, if we do these things, then we really do love God. At least we do if we are doing these things from our hearts, because we love him, and not just from a sense of duty, as though we are trying to please God somehow in our flesh, trying to work into his favor. We cannot do that. We must do it from the heart. If we only do them because we have to do them, if we only do them because we're afraid of what might happen to us if we don't do them, then we really are not doing them out of love, and we really do not love him. But if we do them because we really want to do them, because that's really what we want to do, because it's right and it's good, and because we really do love him, then we truly do love God. See, that's the standard. That is the rule. But again, having said that, even the best of us do it very, very imperfectly. James tells us that we all stumble in many ways. We cannot do them perfectly. But if we want to do them perfectly, if that is our heart's desire to do those things perfectly, then we really do love God. Now, that part of us that really doesn't want to do what God wants us to do, what do we call that? That's sin. Sin is that thing in us that doesn't love God. Sin is that reluctance we find within ourselves to do what God wants us to do and to draw near to him. Those are the things the Lord commands us to put to death. Get rid of those things. Clean house. Use the means of grace to strengthen his grace, but also to kill the sin in you, the rebellion against God, so that you will love him more. Well, this is the great. This is the foremost commandment. This is the first commandment. This is the most important commandment, to love God with your whole being. That's what the law is telling us how to do. It's what it's teaching us. But Jesus tells us that there is a second commandment, and one that is like the first. Jesus says that we must also love our neighbor as ourselves. Now, he says it's like the first commandment. And I think it's like the first commandment in that it is a commandment to love. Okay? And secondly, because it is a commandment to love those who are made in the image of God, and especially those who are our brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember what John says in 1 John 4, verse 20. He says, if someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. Now, the Lord is telling us that this second commandment is like the first. It is a commandment to love, and it's not, in this case, to love God, but to love those who are made in his image. Because if we cannot love those who are made in his image, we do not love God either, no matter what we might think. These commandments are closely linked together. So now it's important for us to ask, what does Jesus mean by this? Who is my neighbor? Well, the answer, of course, is found in the word itself. A neighbor is somebody who is nigh to you. That's where the word comes from. Somebody who is close to you. Somebody who is not just close relationally, but physically. Your neighbor is anyone who is around you. And anyone, of course, especially who might be in need. So Jesus is not commanding us here just to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. We are especially to love them, but we are to love all men, because everyone is my neighbor. Remember when the one Jew asked the question, Jesus gave the story of the Good Samaritan, pointing out that he was even to love his enemies. And that is true. That's what the Lord wants. Our neighbor includes even our enemies. Well, how are we supposed to love them? Jesus says that we are to love them in the same way that we love ourselves. Now again, remember that there's two different ways we can love ourselves. There's what's called sinful self-love, which is at the root of a lot of very evil and wicked things. And that's not the kind of love he's talking about here. But the kind of love that we should have for ourselves, which is the kind of love where we take care of ourselves, we're concerned about our needs, physical needs, and spiritual needs. We are to take the same kind of love and concern for our neighbors as we take for ourselves. Now, love seeks the good of what it loves, of the object of that love. It wants what is best for everyone. It teaches us that we are to love and respect all men, especially those who are in authority over us. Okay, the commandments, the last six commandments. Respect and love authority. Don't injure anybody unjustly, by word or by deed. Do good to all men. Don't covet what others have. Don't take what they have, but protect those things that belong to them. We are to have the same kind of respect toward other people and care for them as we have for ourselves. Now, we need to remember that this doesn't mean that we are never to do something that's negative towards them, never to take action against them. For instance, the judge who is judging the man standing before him who's found guilty of crimes of perhaps, you know, grand larceny or perhaps murder, the judge himself would not want to be thrown into prison. He wouldn't want to be executed necessarily. But if the man standing before him is guilty of crimes that warrant that, then he must fulfill justice and he must pronounce that sentence. The point is that when he does it, he is to do it still in a loving way. He should not delight in that. He should not delight in the fact that he has to do something like that. He has to do what is right, but there still has to be this love and respect to treat this person in the way that he would want to be treated if the tables were turned around. Okay? We must want for our neighbors what we would want for ourselves, and do to them what we would want them to do for us if those tables were turned around. Jesus tells us that sometimes we even need to set aside our own needs in order to minister to our neighbor. Jesus says in John 15:13, "Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends." Now, life is busy. You know, we've got a lot of things to do, and sometimes you're working and you're trying to get a lot done. You've got a lot on your plate. A lot of things have fallen behind, and suddenly a need arises. Somebody comes to your door. Somebody asks for help, and you're thinking, you know what? I don't have time for this. It's inconvenient for me to do this. But yet Jesus says there are times when we need to lay our lives down, set aside our own needs in order to minister to those. Now, if you were hungry and you went up to somebody to ask for help, how would you want them to treat you? Okay? That's how we're supposed to treat them. We would do for them what we would like them to do for us, again, if the tables were turned. If somebody comes to us and is hungry, what would we want them to do? Well, for us, if we were in that situation, give us some food. And so we give them food. If you didn't have any decent clothes to wear, what would you want somebody to do for you? Well, I think you'd probably like somebody to give you some decent clothes to wear. And so if somebody comes to you who needs clothing, be open to giving them clothing if it's in your power to do that. I think about our children. You know, oftentimes children, they're a reflection of what we're really like, but they're less controlled than we are because we've learned to restrain a lot of the things that we know are wrong. And all of us have our friends. All of us have those people that we like to spend time with. And children are no different, right? Now, what if some of you are playing, let's say there's some children playing, and you want to join them, but they don't want you to join with them? You know how that feels. So if you're playing with friends of yours, and then some other children want to join you in that play, what should you do? Oh, get out of here. We don't want you to play with us. We're happy the way we're doing it. No, we should always be open to making them feel welcome and doing for them what we would want others to do for us if we were in the same situation. To welcome us, to play with us, to share with us, to help us if we need help, whatever it may be. The Lord wants us to have that same concern for others as we have for ourselves. Now, if you were sick, if you were in trouble, if you were lonely, if you were overwhelmed, if you were depressed, or if you were discouraged, what would you want somebody to do for you? Well, Jesus says, go and do likewise. If you were hated by others, I'm sure you would want them to forgive you and to love you. Jesus again says, if that's what you want someone to do for you, do that to others as well. Jesus tells us that every law in the prophets, every law in the commandments is based upon this law of love. So are we going to look at that and say, well, that's a bad thing. I don't want to do this law. Should we say with Chafer, when God gave his commandments on Mount Sinai, away with this law. We don't want it. We don't want to love you, God. We don't want to love people. No, we don't want to say that. We say, this is good. This is right. This is what I should do. This is what I want to do. Because it is right. Because it is the loving thing to do. But notice here that Jesus, when he answers the question, doesn't give the lawyer just one commandment. But he gives to him that principle from which all the commandments actually grow. You might say it's the root from which the tree of obedience grows, the commandment to love. Now, this is the message that God was communicating through the commandments. This is the message he wants us to learn. The summary of everything that he requires in the law, to love him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Paul said to the church at Rome, "Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, it is summed up in the saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law." And he wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:5, "But the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith." Jesus says love is greater than anything else that we might want to give him. Remember how he said to, how Samuel said to Saul, to obey is better than sacrifice. To obey God is to love God. It's better than all rituals, all traditions. Outward obedience, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, it's even better than the spiritual gifts. Love is the most important thing that we can do. The greatest of these is love. It is the heart and soul of our relationship with God. It's that which gives life to everything that we do. It is the greatest commandment in the law and one that our Lord Jesus tells us that we need to keep. Now, of course, we need to keep all of them. And the only way we can do that is by trusting in the Lord. So let me ask you some of these questions by way of examination. I think all of us need to ask ourselves whether or not we're keeping these commandments, loving God and loving our neighbor. Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So are you keeping the commandments of God? Do you love your neighbor? Do you love your neighbor as yourself? Is this what you find yourself doing? Even though it means that sometimes you're going to have to do things that your neighbor might not necessarily like. Remember, the loving thing is not always the thing that your neighbor likes. Sometimes you have to hurt them with your words. Sometimes you have to reprove or rebuke them. Love includes those things too. But are you committed to doing those things? Are you willing to do those things? Now again, recognize that all of us fall short in this area. Every single one of us. None of us love the way that we are supposed to love. But we also know at the same time whether or not we want to do it, whether or not we're really trying to do what God has called us to do. Sometimes we put limits on ourselves and we say, I'm willing to love, yes, but I'm only willing to go so far and no further unless something changes. But you know what? Jesus says that we must be willing to love all the way. And we must be willing to love people who don't measure up to our standards. People who are even our enemies. And that's the most difficult thing that we have to do in this world, is to love our enemies. I think we all know that's the case. But again, how can we do it? Well, as the scriptures tell us, and as Dr. Cromadon reminded us, we can't do it. It's with men it is impossible, but not with God. With God, all things are possible. We can't do it, but Jesus can. And Jesus has done it. And Jesus can help us to do it as well. Jesus gives us the ability to do these things. And so if we're struggling with love toward God, as a matter of fact, if we don't have any love toward God, the only way we can get it is to come and ask for His grace to give us that love. If we don't love God as we should love Him, then we need to ask for His mercy and grace to fill our hearts with more of His Spirit so that we can love Him in this way. If we don't love our neighbor as God calls us to love him, again, Jesus is the only one who can give us the ability to do that. And realizing, again, that no matter how much we do love, no matter how loving we are, we're still going to fall short of God's standard. We need to always trust not in our love, but in God's love for us, in the Lord Jesus Christ and His love for God and for man to make us right with God. Well, I think there's obviously a lesson in this for all of us this evening that we need to take to heart. And so let's bow in a few moments of prayer and let's ask God to apply His word to us, that we would repent of our sins of not loving, and that we would begin to love as He calls us to.